我们小店做的蛮结实。
It's 8 o'clock versus Shane.
Yeah, it's not kind of supposed to have problems.
Maybe I could just ask everybody to go on mute, please. We're just giving it a couple of minutes for people to join. Robert Koenigsberg and is having technical difficulties, so you may well be stuck with me as the introductory person, which I apologise. I would have shaved in advance, I don't mean, obviously.
Ow.
So great, Rob, I believe if that's okay, if you're ready to start, then I just wanted to say thank you very much for joining us. It's a pleasure, a big pleasure. I recall you having spoken a few times with us beforehand, including one time when I remember in one of my first acts as a gabbai, when I called you up to give you the cover after having come to speak, and people asked me why I would call you up as Shishi when your surname was Levy, but put that aside, and I'll leave that to my general embarrassment. But much more importantly, Rabbi Levy, I think, is very well known, as I say, to many of us, and needs no real introduction. However, Rabbi Levy is a descendant of a long lineage of Sephardic rabbis, and his great-great-grandfather was the last chief rabbi of Yemen, which is something. He grew up in Brooklyn, New York, where he received a degree in finance from Touro College and went on to receive rabbinic ordination in Eretz Yisrael while studying in the kollel of Rav Yitzchok Berkovich Shlita. Rabbi Levy has experience in teaching sixth form students in JFS, Emmanuel College, City of London Boys, Haberdashers Boys, and gives weekly classes and husband in boys and girls. His weekly lunch and learn classes in Hatton Garden are oversubscribed, and he's a regular guest speaker in shuls generally and in Jewish events throughout London. So without further ado, again, Rabbi Levy, we're very honoured that you come to join us in our last of this series before we hit Rosh Hashanah. So over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Elkanan and Rashut Rabbi Koenigsberg. No pressure, because many of you might be very chilled and in your pajamas. It's easier to speak to faces as opposed to just boxes with names. But if people want to share their screen, great. If not, no pressure whatsoever. It's my distinct privilege and honor to be able to say a few words and share some thoughts as we get ready for Rosh Hashanah. So I was just discussing in front of, down the road from me, they put a few tents together. And I was saying, we as Jews do so many random rituals that if you're telling them over to a guy, they'll just think that you're absolutely crazy. Yeah, all this time of the year, we go and we want to get rid of our sins. So we do this thing called Tashlich, where we take our sins and we throw them to the fish. And they're like, okay, that sounds great. And just in case that didn't work, we take chickens, wave them over our head, and the sins go into the chickens. Also sounds quite interesting. And about a week later, 15 days later, we take some branches and a lemon, a glorified lemon. That's really expensive. They say the etrog, he's been social distancing in his own box from the lulav and the hadasim and the aravot since the beginning of time. And he's got the mask and everything, the flax that goes around it. We take our sword, says the Gemara, and we're poking the Yetzihara with our etrog grenade. You don't want to break off the pitom, it'll explode. It's your grenade. Right? We do all these random things. And in front of us, I was saying, they put a few tents together. And to make it halachically one chatzer, one big yard, they put up the poles like you do with an Eruv. And the goy is for sure thinking, so okay, you put up sticks with dental floss, and now we're one big happy family. We do a lot of random things. One of the most interesting, peculiar things that we do is we sit down for the meal on the night of Rosh Hashanah, and we have the simanim. And it seems almost superstitious. Oh, we'll eat the head of a ram and we'll eat the head of a fish. I was thinking about it today. What exactly does that mean? When has anybody ever been called a zanav, a tail? Excuse me. No one. If anything, I would have thought you were the head and not the feet. What is it? When would we be compared to animals to even be called a zanav, a tail? And we want the year to be Rosh, good, our head. Is it that? Is it the new year, Rosh Hashanah? And we eat different things, sweet new year. I remember my daughter last year, she said, what does it mean, Shana Tova Umetuka, that you should have a happy, sweet new year? Just say, happy new year. So very famously, I'm sure you've heard many times, but it's especially applicable this year. Everything's always good. We don't always appreciate that it's good. Somebody can break their leg. That's very painful. That seems like it's bad. But then there's a war, and they're drafting all the young people for the army. And because this guy is not able-bodied, he's got a broken leg, he doesn't have to go to war and be there on D-Day where most people lost their lives. So as bad as it wasn't bad, it was good. But it definitely wasn't sweet, it's painful. I don't know how, I don't know why, nobody can understand why there's coronavirus. But we know Hashem would only do good. That being said, it definitely has not been sweet. It's been very, very tragic. We've lost some amazing men and women, and it's been very challenging to be, for those that are home alone, very, very challenging to be home alone. And for those that are home with their kids, very challenging to be home for 6 months with your kids. It definitely hasn't been sweet. And we do all these random things and have foods that sort of have the similar word as, what exactly are we doing? What does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah? And we'll discuss the topic of the evening is tzedakah. What exactly are we doing with the simanim? So there's many different ideas. But one that resonated with me is a story of a chassid. It took place about 200 years ago. I went to visit his Rebbe every Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. He goes and he's with thousands of chassidim by the Rebbe. And he walks in. He's very happy. He traveled a few days' journey. And as he walks in, the Rebbe looks at him. Yankel, get out of here. We don't want you here. Go home. Be with your family. Total silence. Thousands of people, total silence. No one's ever seen the Rebbe be like this, be upset, kick someone out. Unheard of. The Rebbe is so warm, so welcoming. What's going on over here? Yankel doesn't know what to answer. He says, Yankel, I said get out of here. Go home. Be with your family. We don't want you here. Yankel is flabbergasted and distraught. And he's like walking the streets. Just doesn't know where to go. And there's a pub, so he sits down by the pub and they said, the uncle, what are you doing here? He says, the Rebbe kicked me out. He screamed at me in front of everybody, embarrassed me. Go home, be with your family. We don't want you here. One guy says, the uncle, sounds like you need a drink. They pour him a whiskey. Everyone picks up their glass. L'chaim, l'chaim, and he downs the shot. Someone else says, next one's on me. L'chaim, everybody does l'chaim. The uncle says, you know what? This one's on me. I'm buying shots for everybody. L'chaim, l'chaim. 10, 12, 15 shots. The uncle's now totally drunk. Says, you know what? I'm not taking a no from the Rebbe. I'm going back there. I'm going to show him. I'm going to be there for Rosh Hashanah. Travels back to the Rebbe. He walks in and this Hasidim can't believe it. The Rebbe just kicked him out a few hours ago. And everyone looks at the Rebbe. The Rebbe looks at Yankel and says, Yankel, so happy to see you. Please come sit down. Welcome. So the Hasidim, they're looking at the Rebbe. Well, when did he go schizophrenic on us? Makarapo. Rebbe, what's going on? Before you kicked him out, now you tell him welcome. The Rebbe says, when he walked in, I saw the Malach HaMavis, I saw the angel of death was hovering above him, which meant he didn't have much time left. So I said, why should Yankel be here with us? Let him go home and be with his family in his last few days and last few hours. But he went to the pub. And everyone's saying, L'chaim, L'chaim, L'chaim. L'chaim means to life. So eventually, the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, he couldn't take him. He couldn't do anything. Because L'chaim, when everyone gives a bracha, we need to stop and appreciate that our words have power. We're going to spend the next 10 days saying Selichot and in shul over and over and over. Appreciate. You start Rosh Hashanah by the meal, and you're saying all these things to appreciate that your words have power. And when you say l'chaim, it could change everything. and you say Shana Tova Mituka, it could change everything. We have many random customs, but probably the most famous thing that people associate with Rosh Hashanah is the Nisana Taikif. The Sfaradim don't actually say the Nisana Taikif, so you know that I prepared this class special for you guys. And the famous line goes, Uteshuva, Utefila, Utsedaka, Ma'avirin, et Roa Gzera. What takes away the Roa Gzera, the evil decree? Teshuva, Tefila, and Tzedaka. Now, I can appreciate Teshuva. That's what we do this time of the year. It's a time to Lashuv, to return. When I ask students, what are we returning to? They say, we're returning to Hashem. I said, that's true, but that's not really what we mean. We mean we're returning to ourselves, to our pure, holy state of who we are without all the averot and who we're meant to be. Hashem takes off all the klipot, all the layers that are blocking our neshama from truly connecting to the Torah and the mitzvot and to Hashem. Hashem pulls them all away, but we need to make that first step. We need to go close. I was giving a shiur on Monday night, a shiur chavruta, and we were talking about different things, and I said, you know, this parasha that's next up, Ha'azinu, there's a pasuk, it says, Kaneshi Yair Kino, Al Gozelav Yirachet, Yifros Kenafav Yikachel, Yisrael Abrato. Yifros Kenafav Yikachel, right? Kaneshe, like an ingle. My father left Yemen, 1949, Operation Magic Carpet. And they were third world people. They had never in their lives seen an airplane. And they come to the plane that's going to take them to Israel, and they said, the psukim are true. We always picture these giant actual animals that, you know, would somehow fly us to Israel. But that's what an airplane is. It's not by chance that it's that shape. To be able to have aviation, it's a giant eagle. And the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kaneshe Kino al gozelav yirachef, says Rashi, like an eagle that doesn't just land on the nest, because that's too powerful. It scares its babies. It says, Nogea ve'ener nogea. It touches without really touching. Doesn't want to come pitom. So it goes ben ilan le'ilan. It goes between tree and tree. Flaps its wings, and it makes some noise to try and wake us up. Hashem this year is trying to wake us up. It's been the craziest year. I was talking to a guy, he's 80 years old. I said, Charlie, in your lifetime, has there ever been a year this crazy? He says, no way, nothing close. Maybe when he was 2, 3, 4 years old, there was World War I, but he didn't remember it. Excuse me, World War II, but he doesn't remember it as a little child. So this is by far the craziest year we've ever had. Hashem's trying to wake us up. Mirachef, he's not on top of us, he's hovering, making noise, saying, hey, I don't want to scare you, I don't want to come pitom. And then, says Rashi, Ifros kenafa v'kacheu, the eagle spreads its wings and takes you. And explains Rashi, every bird carries its babies in its claws. Because it's worried that if it puts its babies on the wings, what's going to happen? The eagle's going to come and grab its babies. But the eagle soars higher than any other bird. And the only thing the eagles worry about is somebody shooting an arrow. So the eagle says, you fly on my wings to its children. You jump on my back. And if someone shoots an arrow, I'll take the hit for you. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu says that she's so too God. He says, anybody's going to shoot arrows, anyone's going to shoot missiles, anyone's going to shoot anything at you, I'll take the hit. Like the mother eagle. Says Ramat Asiyahu Solomon, but every bird could be sitting in its nest and the mother will grab it with its claws. But if Hashem says, I will be the mother eagle, I'll soar higher than any other, take you higher than you've ever been. The eagle can't put its children on its back. It says, the one thing we need to do, Hashem says, I'll do all the work. You just need to make that jump. Teshuvah, we make that jump. We show Hashem we want to return to the pure, holy state we're meant to be at. Tefillah, we make a relationship with Hashem. I appreciate that's something that we do special on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and these high holy days. But tzedakah, teshuvah, tefillah, I get it. Tzedakah. What does tzedakah have to do with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Furthermore, we know the root of the word tzedakah is tzedek. Now when we think tzedek, what does it literally mean? It means justice. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, says the pasuk. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. It almost sounds like that's not midat harachamim. That's not the attribute of mercy. That's midat hadin. That's the attribute of din, of justice. Not rachamim, not mercy. Why is tzedakah, which we normally translate as giving charity, associated with justice? How is that justice? And why during this time of the year? We have all these rituals, but why tzedakah especially auspicious during this time of the year? I mentioned the patsuk. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. I was speaking by a Sheva Brachot last week. Don't worry, socially distanced, in a restaurant, enough space. And I said to them, I saw a beautiful Dvar Torah. You look at Eshet Chayil. Eshet Chayil gives us a lot of important ideas on how to be a good husband and a good wife. And one of my favorite stories, somebody went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He says, Kvod Arav, Ishti Choshevet Shani Bank. My wife thinks that I'm a bank. Yeah, she thinks I'm a bank. It's only Rav Chaim Kanievsky like this. He says, Katuv ba'eshet chayil amila ba'ala shalosh pa'amim. It says in Eshet Chayil, the word husband three times. It says, batach ba'lev ba'ala. Noda b'sharim ba'ala. And then it says, kamu ba'ne v'yashrua ba'ala v'yahalila. It says, Eshet Chayil is written in alphabetical order. Batach ba'lev ba'ala be'. Noda b'sharim ba'ala nun. Kamu banei v'yashrua ba'ala v'yahalila kuf. What does that spell? Bank. It says in Eshet Chayil. That's what a husband is. That's his job. Be the bank. Yeah, support the family. But there's an interesting pasuk. It says, Lo tira mi beta mishalek. Don't be scared of this woman of valor, that of snow. Ki chol beta lavu shanim. That her whole house is full of red wool. Right, read in the Haftarah a few weeks ago. Im chatatchem kashani. If your sins are red, like red wool, kashelig, right, I'll make them white like the snow. Yom Kippur, you have the red rope around the neck of the Sela Azazel, and they used to wait and yearn to see, is it going to turn white? But Rashi over there says, don't read it. Lo tiram beta mishaleg, kicho beta lavu shanim. Read it, kicho beta lavu shenayim. It's the same letters, just different nekudot. Her whole house is double. What does that mean, their whole house is double? So, when we picture Gehenam, we picture hell. What do we picture? Fire, brimstone. Why? Because most of our averot were done with fire, with passion. Someone gave into temptation. Somebody got angry. Someone, they got, whatever it might be, that was with fire that's burning inside of them that they couldn't control. So midah keneged midah, measure for measure, you get punished with fire. But there's another type of Gehenam. Gehenam of Antarctica, of snow. Some people, what do they do wrong? They're just icy cold. They're icy cold. They're practically rude. They didn't do anything wrong per se, but they're not warm, they're not friendly, they're not open. Lotida mi beta mishalek, this Eshet Chayil, don't be scared of her house, that it is snow. Ki chol beta lavu shanim. Her whole house is not just lavu shanim, is lavu shenayim. So I saw a beautiful idea. What does that mean, lavu shenayim? Whenever we talk about giving, we see a double terminology. Somebody has a slave, 6 years, Eved Ivri, Hanek Ta'anek. You need to give him gifts. But it doesn't just say, give him gifts, Hanek Ta'anek, double terminology. When it talks about giving your Ma'aser, it doesn't just say, Aser, it says, Aser Ta'aser, double terminology. When it talks about opening your home, it says, Patoach Tiftach, open, open. When it talks about giving, it says, Naton Titen. Double terminology. And as I said before, when it talks about righteousness, it says tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Why is there a double terminology? So I'll tell you a story. A story about a principal in America. This took place about 30 years ago. And he gets a phone call from a very worried parent. He says, what can I do to help you? He says, my son, 8 years old, was his birthday. And my parents, his grandparents, decided to give him a present. They gave him $100. Yeah, that's a lot of money for an 8-year-old kid nowadays, but especially 30 years ago. And we told them, no, but I can't really tell my parents no, says this mom. And we said, whatever you do, don't take it to school. So what does the kid do? He takes it to school. And he just called us up frantically crying. Somebody stole his money. Please, they say to the principal, can you find it? So the principal walks into the classroom, says, does anybody see the money? Does anybody maybe know what happened? Did anybody find it? No, sorry, no, no. He decides he's going to call out each kid individually and hopefully he can figure out which one is the thief, which one's the ganav. Calls kid number one, asks him a certain amount of questions. Where were you during the break? Did you see the money? Did you come back during the break? Did you, what? Okay. Next kid, same questions. Where were you during the break? Did you go outside? What were you doing? Kid number two, 5, 7, 12. He gets up to kid number 14 and he can tell the kid's quite nervous. Did you see the money? I saw when he showed it to everybody. Did you know what happened? No, I have no idea. Well, where were you during the break? That's when apparently it got stolen. I was outside playing ball, but then I came in to get my snacks, and then I went out, and then I came back. The principal says, can you please empty your pockets? Kid sticks his hands in his pockets. Empty! Says, can you empty your back pocket? In the back pocket, the principal finds $99.50, and the guy just bought a soda for 50 cents. Principal says, could it be that maybe you found the money and you planned on returning it and you forgot to return it and I should take it and I should return it? He says, yeah, totally. That's exactly, yes, thank you. The principal sends the boy back in. He then calls out boy number 15 and says, where were you during the break? Did you see the money? Do you know what happened? All the same questions. Kid number 16, 17, 20, 25, every one of the 30 kids in the class. Why? Because even though he found the ganav after boy number 14, if he stops calling out the boys and he stops asking them each the same questions, they're going to talk. And everyone's going to know who was the thief. It was boy number 14. So the principal, even though he was very busy, calls out each and every kid. I know that this story is a true story because that principal was my father-in-law, Rabbi Isaac Farhi. This tzedek, this finding the thief, and then this tzedek, not just doing, but saying it's not about me just getting the right verdict. It's not about me finding the thief. It's about the way you do it as well. You need to find the right way to do it that no one's going to be hurt. That it's not about me. It's about him. Patoach tiftach. You don't just open your house, say, here's a key, see you later. Welcome, what can we get you? How's your trip? How's everything? Here's a bottle of water. Please let us know if you need anything. Naton, you don't just say, all right, here's your donation. Rabbi, leave me alone. Wow, it's such a beautiful cause. So amazing. Let me know if there's anything I can do. Naton titen, patoach tiftach. Aser ta aser. Whenever you do it, this eshet chal, kichol beta lavu shenayim. Whenever she does anything, she doesn't just do it for the sake of doing it. She does it with an open heart and a smile on her face. That's the ultimate eshet chal. What is tzedek? Tzedek might be righteousness, but it doesn't necessarily have to be midat hadin. What is special about tzedakah? What is so unique? What's the connection to Rosh Hashanah? So we stop and appreciate. When you look at the Rosh Hashanah davening, Sifrei Chaim v'Metim Bituchim Lefanecha, the books of life and death are open. I remember, I don't know if you could say this in Ashkenazi shul, but I said this in a Sephardi shul. Sephardi shuls, they listen more. I don't know if they do anything about it, but they can handle if you're a little bit tougher. Yeah, Ashkenazim, I think they might do a bit more, but they're a bit more sensitive. So I wouldn't have said this in Ashkenazi shul, but I got up to speak Rosh Hashanah. And I got up to speak before Shofar, must have been about 10:30, 10:45. And I said to the people in the Kahal, I said, I got to be honest, I don't think the people in this room appreciate the gravity of the day. I said, if you have a court case for your business, it doesn't have to be anything mega in your business. And the court case starts at 8 o'clock. You don't show up at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 10:30. If you got a big court case, you're going to be there at 7 o'clock or 7:30. Unfortunately, half the people in the shul walked in at 9 or 9:30 or 10 o'clock. You don't appreciate how important this day is. Everything's on the line, not just your business, but your life, your marriage, kids, everything. Everything's on the line. You need to stop and appreciate the importance of this day. Sifrei Chaim v'Metim Pituchim Lefanecha. Life and death, the books are open in front of you. And yet, when you look at the davening, we don't ask for anything. I would have thought, Sifrei Chaim v'Metim Pituchim Lefanecha, everything is being decided now. L'havdil, we should have a Santa Claus list. This year, I want health, and I want happiness, I want good marriage, I want my kids to get good grades, and I want to be able to travel and go to this place and go to that place, and I want that my parents this, I want that my cousins that. You would think it's a day that you ask for a bunch of stuff. You look at the tefillah, we don't ask for anything. Nowhere in the prayers do we ask for anything. One of the things that we add in the Amidah is Zochrenu l'chaim, melech hafetz k'chaim, kotfenu b'sefer chaim, namanach Elohim chaim. Inscribe us in the book of life, namanach Elohim chaim, for you is our life. That's the only time we really ask anything. At the end, it's a little bit more, right? Before Sim Shalom, b'sefer chaim, b'racha b'shalom, panasa tova, yishu anachama, gzerot tovot, nizachev, v'nekatev, v'vanecha, anachna, v'chol, amcha b'yisrael, chaim tovim, shalom. Okay. But that's not in the main part of the davening. Someone forgets to say it, they don't have to repeat the whole davening. So, why is it that the tefillah, we don't actually ask for anything?
Hi.
And, if you speak up, you have to give a good answer. What exactly are we doing over here on the Rosh Hashanah tefillah? What is the tefillah all about? B'chen tzadikim iru v'smachu, b'chen, by the way, I saw the freelancer says Ubchen. We say a bunch of times Ubchen. Tzadikim iru v'smachu Ubchen. Yisharim ve'alos Ubchen. When Esther Amalka comes in front of Achashverosh, she says to Mordechai, "I don't want to go. I can get killed. I don't deserve to come in front of the king." And what does she say? Ubchen. Avu al ha-melech shelo kedat. I'll come in front of the king, even though I'm not worthy, even though I don't belong going in front of the king. That has to be our attitude. Our heads down. Ubchen. And so I come in front of the king, even though who am I to speak to the king? And what do we say? We yearn for the day where every single kol hashem neshama ba'po, every single entity that has breath and every creation will know Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech Malchom Achom Mashallah. Everyone is for you, and you are the king of all and in charge of everything. The theme of the day is Malchut, it's kingship. What does that have to do with tzedakah? Why is that the theme of the day? So, I heard a nice mashal from Rabbi Tatz, maybe 10 years ago when I first came to London. He said, you have a CEO of a company, we'll call him Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs goes around the world buying out tech companies, and he gets rid of 20, 30, 40% of the people working there who he feels are dead weight. And he's revolutionized the world, big philanthropist, gave millions and millions and millions of dollars to help underprivileged countries, and he makes them be able to have water and to go green and the environment and touch technology is amazing. And before he gets rid of certain people in a company, he interviews everybody. He had a very special feel. So he buys out your company, and now he's interviewing everybody. Everyone knows their job is on the line. In walks person number one and says, Mr. Jobs, nice to meet you. It comes down to numbers. You'd be crazy to get rid of me. I'm a very hard worker. I'm one of the first people to come, one of the last people to leave. And look at the books. I've earned this company millions and millions and millions over the years. That's why I get paid well. And I definitely think I belong here, and you'd be crazy to get rid of me. Okay. Steve Jobs writes down his notes. In walks guy number two, and he's, you could tell he's quite genuine. He says, Mr. Jobs, wow. What a privilege and an honor would be for me to be part of your team. What you've done for the world is revolutionary, is mind-boggling. Touch technology, it was unheard of. When they came out with the iPad, they said to Steve Jobs, did you have focus groups? Did you speak to people and ask them what they would want out of a computer? He said, no. Because they would just say, give me a laptop that's even faster or better. They wouldn't have thought so outside the box that you can have touch technology. You can't expect the consumer to know what they really want. That's what he said. Interesting. And the guy says, it would be a distinct privilege and an honor to be part of your team. Well, the philanthropy and what you've done for the world and the amount of people that you've helped, it's unbelievable. And I've been working for this company many years. Ask anybody, I'm a hard worker, one of the first to come, one of the last to leave. And I've made this company millions. And it would truly be a privilege to join your team, sir. Which guy is Steve Jobs more likely to hire? Guy number one or guy number two? Obviously, guy number two. Guy number one is saying, I need to get paid well. I'm a good worker. I. And guy number two is saying, you're amazing. You're phenomenal. I just want to be part of your team. Rosh Hashanah, we don't come and say, I want health, and I want parnasah, and I want my kid to do this, and I want my spouse that, and I. No, it's not. Rosh Hashanah is not about us. Rosh Hashanah is Hashem. You're unbelievable. I know I pray every day, but every once in a while we just stop and appreciate how amazing you are. And I yearn for the day when everybody can appreciate how amazing you are. And please, Hashem, I just want to be part of your team. So, why should you write me in the book of life? I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to be a soldier. Eshet chayil chayal is a soldier. Soldiers go wherever they're needed, wherever they're deployed. I said to my kids a few years ago, we felt that Chazak was ready to expand. And we went to Miami. We applied to the schools. I had meetings with all different people and donors and rabbis. And then my dear brother, Rabbi Farhi, got this offer in Manhattan. We felt that would be better for Klal Yisrael. And my kids said, aren't we going? I said, no, we're here. They said, but we went and we had plans and put an offer on a house. I said, yeah, but soldier goes wherever they're needed most. And if we're needed here now, then we're here. We'll worry about what happens in 10 years, But for now, this is where Hashem needs us. We're all soldiers in Hashem's army. Eshet Chayal, the woman knows, sure, it'd be more glamorous to be in shul, but if I'm needed home with the kids, then that's my job as a chayala, as a soldier. We go where we're needed, and each one has a different role to play. Not everybody could be a commando, not everybody can be black ops, and not everybody could be tzanchanim or duv divan. There's different units. Everybody has a different role to play. Rosh Hashanah, we tell Hashem, it's a privilege and an honor just to be part of your team. And of course, if we're truly one of Hashem's soldiers, then every general and every head of the country wants that their soldiers will have peace of mind and will have health. We don't need to ask for anything. All we need to do is say, Hashem, please let us be part of your team, and everything else will automatically come. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. I saw one rabbi gave him a mashal, a story. He said there's a very, very, very fancy schmancy hotel in Dubai. Yeah, maybe now we can go visit. And this hotel is $250,000 a night per room. Only the rich of the rich stay there. And this guy, it's his 25th wedding anniversary. He saves up for a few years and he says to his wife, we're going to Dubai. We're staying one night in this hotel. She says, wow, everybody talks about it. Each room has their own special pool and two butlers and a private masseuse and its own chef. And it's amazing. And the view and the thing, it's mind-boggling. Wow, I can't believe it. And the guy walks in and every single person in the hotel is rich and famous and fancier than the next. Remember hearing a shiur, and the rabbi said there's a very big fundraiser. And the guy just goes to the big hotels, and he knows who's the richest people. So someone said to him, you're sitting in the lobby of these hotels, and how do you just pick off the guys that are the wealthiest? He says, the people that are dressed the most ridiculous, those are the billionaires. They don't care about what anybody else thinks. They don't have to wear Prada or Gucci or Armani. They could wear plaid with a bow tie and a weird hat. They just don't care. Who do I need to impress? He walks into the lobby in Dubai. Everybody's just, that's the way it is. And wow, he's snapping selfies, all these rich and famous people. And then he sees somebody that he knows from school, from high school together. And he can't believe it. This guy wasn't especially clever. This guy could afford to stay in this hotel. It's over 10 grand an hour. So he comes to the guy, he says, wow, so nice to see you. It's been years, I haven't seen you. So what's your line of work? What do you do? How long are you in this hotel? How long are you staying here? I'm staying here one night. And his old friend says, one night? That's nothing. So what do you mean? How long are you staying here? He says, as long as I want.
I'm going to go upstairs.
You're staying here as long as you want? How can you afford that? He says, what do you mean? I'm the manager over here. The manager that could stay in the fanciest, best hotel with the most amazing amenities and doesn't pay a penny because he works for the establishment. We come to Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and we say, we just want to work for you. We just want to be part of your team, Hashem. It's not about me. It's about you. What happens when we give tzedakah? What is the essence of tzedakah, of tzedek? We're showing Hashem, it's not about what I want. It's not about me, Hashem, it's about you. This isn't my money. I'm just Hashem's money manager. I'm lucky enough that he lets me keep 90% and he says give 10%. If I'm wealthy, he says keep 80%. Your quality of life between 80 and 90% won't make any difference. You're very wealthy. You're my money manager. You got to decide how you're going to give out the 20% maaser. But when you give it out, aser ta'aser. When you open your home, patoach tiftach, double, do it double. Tzedek, tzedek. Don't just find the thief. Don't just be righteous. Do it in a way that everybody feels special. Teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah. What are we doing when we have the tzedakah? What ultimately are we saying? We're saying, Hashem, it's not about me. I'm here to serve you, represent you, and I'm going to give from the money you gave me to other people, because you didn't put me in this world for me. You put me in this world to serve you and represent you, and I'm making a kiddush Hashem when I give that tzedakah, when I think of others, when I do for others. Teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah, the trifecta. Why? Because teshuvah, we want to get close to Hashem, and we peel away the layers. We're returning to a pure state. Then comes tefillah. Once we stripped away all the layers, tefillah, we can truly connect to Hashem. But tzedakah, that's the clincher. Because being close to Hashem, what does it mean to be close to Hashem? It means to emulate Hashem. Mahu rachu mafata rachu. Mahu chanun mafata chanun. The same way Hashem is all giving. There's no him that he worries about. So too, I give. I think of others. I do for others. Hashem created the world in order to give, says the Ramchal. That's what I want to do, Hashem. So teshuvah, peel away all the peels, all the klipot, get rid of all the averot. Tefillah, connect to Hashem, tzedakah. We show Hashem, it doesn't matter what I want, it's what you want. I saw a story, I'll tell you, I'll end with two stories. I saw a story last week about somebody married many, many years, never had any children. Every year he went to his Rebbe to get a bracha, and every year the Rebbe gave him a bracha, and unfortunately it didn't work. And one time when he was on his summer trip with his wife, his Rebbe's brother, was also a big Rebbe, was at this summer getaway. Excuse me, and he comes to his Rebbe's brother and says, Rebbe, excuse me, please can I have a bracha? I'm married many, many years without children. And the Rebbe looks at him and says, you know what? Come to me on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, there's special kohot, new beginnings. Come to me on Rosh Hashanah for a bracha. And Be'ezat Hashem, we'll give you a bracha to have a child. The guy's all excited. He says to his wife, I spoke to the Rebbe's brother. And his wife says, don't you think you should ask permission from the Rebbe? He says, yeah, good idea, because every year I'm with him for Rosh Hashanah. He goes to his Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, this Rosh Hashanah, I don't plan on being here. So he says, okay, why not? He says, I'm asking permission. Is it okay? I was going to go to your brother. He said to me, come on Rosh Hashanah, I'll give you a bracha to have a kid. The Rebbe says, that's a phenomenal idea. My brother is a Baal Moifes. He does miracles and he gives brachot for things that are seemingly impossible and they come true. Great idea. Should definitely go to my brother. 2 days later, Rosh Hashanah, the Rebbe looks up and he sees this chassid. So after the davening, he says, didn't you decide that you're going to my brother? What are you doing here? He says, I'll tell you, Rebbe. I packed up my horse and buggy. I was about to leave, me and my wife, and go be with your brother for Rosh Hashanah. And then I thought to myself, one second. I've been coming to my Rebbe for years, and he's been giving me a bracha to have children, and it hasn't worked. If I go to his brother, and his brother gives me a bracha, and I have a child, what's everyone going to say? Oh, that Rebbe is not such a great Rebbe. You know who's the best Rebbe? It's his brother. He says, Rebbe, what? Because I want to have children means you need to be embarrassed. Because I want to have children means that people should say that you're not so great. I'm not going. I'd rather stay here with you, Rebbe. Nobody should badmouth the Rebbe or say his brother's greater. We don't know. The Rebbe's in tears. He's flabbergasted. He says, now I know for sure that you're going to have a child this year. And he did. Why? Because it's not about me. That's the ultimate tzedakah. Tzedakah doesn't only mean with money. Tzedek, tzedek. You could do it and you could be midat adin in a righteous way, but it was still a double terminology. You opened your heart. And the way you did your tzedakah, and the way you thought of others, gave to others, helped others. This year, there's old people. We can't literally give to them, but we can. We can. We can go there and be them and let them know that we're thinking about them and we're blowing the shofar for them and we're doing things in their merit if they're stuck at home and they can't go out. We come and we tell Hashem, it's not about me. I'm here to serve you. I heard a story, I'll end with this. I found it to be so powerful. Not any amazing, no children born type of story. A story I heard from a rabbi called Rabbi Yadid. rabbi in the Syrian community in Brooklyn. And he said that somebody in the shul was talking to him. He says, Rabbi, I got this new connection. And if I find somebody, I think I can make a lot of money. Everyone can make a lot of money. He says, oh, I think it was in socks. Rabbi Deed says, oh, there's a guy in my shul. He deals with socks. You have a buyer. He's a seller. Yalla, have a meeting. He puts them together. And the next week he sees this guy. He says, how was the meeting? The guy says, Rabbi, it was an amazing meeting. I crunched the numbers. And if we do the deal, everybody can make millions. The rabbi says, amazing, I'm so happy. Says, but I'm not doing the deal. Says, why not? If everyone can make millions, why aren't you doing the deal? He says, because when I crunched the numbers, I realized it's going to take a lot of work. And instead of getting to the office at 8 o'clock and being able to learn at 6 o'clock and daven at 7 o'clock, I'm going to have to get to the office at 6 a.m. I won't be able to learn, won't be able to pray with them again. And as it is, I'm comfortable. I'm not rich, but I'm comfortable. I take 4 or 5 business trips a year away from my family. If I do this deal, I'm going to have to be at least another 5-6 weeks away from my family. It's just not worth it. Even if I can make millions, I don't want to be away from my family an extra month or two a year. And I don't want to miss out on my tefillah and my learning. Abba Yadid says, I'm in awe. I'm in shock. Never have I met a businessman who's willing to give up millions. And the guy says to him, that's because I'm not a businessman. I'm a man who does business. I'm a man who does business. We come to Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and we say, Hashem, tzedakah, I'm here to give. I'm here to do the right thing. Tzedek. But when I do it tzedek, tzedek, tedof, double terminology. I understand that my actions and my words have powers. I do the simanim because I understand how powerful they can be. And I'm here to represent you, Hashem. It's not about what I want. It's not about me. It's about you. I'm here to serve you, Hashem, to be part of your team. And it would be a distinct privilege and honor to be an eshet chel, to be a soldier in your army, to represent you. And I know that comes with a lot of responsibility. But ultimately, I'm here, Hashem, for you. You've given me so much. The least I can do is represent you in the right way. Teshuvah, we peel away all the averot. Tefillah, we get close to Hashem. Tzedakah, and ultimately, we emulate Hashem by giving. And the way we do is with a smile, with an open heart. And if we're able to do that, then teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah will be ma'avir nedro agzera. This year we had a gezera. Every year we say it, ma'avir nedro agzera. But you ask anybody, they'll say, this year there was a gezera. It was a magefa and a gezera on the world. We have to get rid of that gezera. And the only way to do that is teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah. To give, not just literally physically charity. Of course, that's what it means. That's part of the tzedek that we're doing. But also of ourselves. To understand life's not about me. It's not about me taking and wanting and giving. I just heard today, I was listening to a shiur. And the rabbi was saying, everything, Yamin Hashem Asachal, everything we have is on the right side. You ask anybody what's the most important part of your body, they'll tell you, either the brain or the heart. How come the heart is on the left side? If everything that's important in Judaism is on the right side, it's because it depends on how you look at it. When I face you, your heart is on my right side. The heart's not on the wrong side. It's on the correct side. Because I'm here to look at you, look at your heart, and give to you. That's what we're here to do, to give to others, to think of others, to tell Hashem, it's not about me, I'm here to represent you. I might want children, I might want this, that, but it can't come at the expense of somebody else. I'm a man who does business, not a businessman. Jay-Z, he says, I'm a business man, right? And he is, in a way, that's what he is as his whole entity and his whole thing and his whole PR and his whole is business. It's all, his whole life is about how can I monetize who I am and what I'm all about and my rapping and my... We say, no, Hashem, we're just here to represent you. And even if it means taking a hit and a loss in certain ways of certain things, that's what I got to do. Even if I might want to live over there or give this or have that, I'm just here to serve you, Hashem. So Be'ezat Hashem, we'll be able to do teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah, truly connect to Hashem. And if we're able to do that, then ma'avin edrog zera, Hashem will take away this terrible decree of Corona and give us a year of only bracha v'atzacha, happy and healthy, and also a sweet New Year. Shana Tova.
Amen.
Amen. Shana Tova. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much, Rabbi Levy. Also, on behalf of Rabbi Kanigsberg, he's asked me explicitly to say thank you. He's been listening in, but his microphone doesn't work. But those were amazing, inspirational words. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us this evening. And Amen.
And thank you very much. Be well.
Thank you.